translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. In the cycle of material activities, the material body resembles the wheel of a mental chariot. The 10 senses, 5 for working and 5 for gathering knowledge, and the 5 life airs within the body form the 15 spokes of the chariot's wheel. The 3 modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are its center of activities, and the 8 ingredients of nature, earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligence, and false ego, comprise the rim of the wheel. The external material energy moves this wheel like electrical energy. Thus, the wheel revolves very quickly around its hub, or central support, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul and the ultimate truth. We offer our respectful obeisances unto Him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The cycle of repeated birth and death is figuratively described herein. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.5, Apareyam itastvanyam prakritim vidi me param jiva bhutam mahabaho yayedam daryate jagat. The entire world is going on because the living entity, who is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, is utilizing the material energy. Under the clutches of the material energy, the jivatma is revolving on the wheel of birth and death under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The central point is the Supersoul. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 18.61, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hriddeshe Junatishtati Brahmayan Sarvabhutani Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. The material body of the living entity is a result of the conditioned soul's activities. And because the supporter is the Supersoul is the true reality. Every one of us, therefore, should offer respectful obeisances to this central reality. One should not be misguided by the activities of this material world and forget the central point, the absolute truth. That is the instruction given here by Lord Brahma. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sva Padantikam Vanshakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So verse again. Ajasya chakram tvajayer yamanam manomayam pancha dasharam ashu trinabi vijuj chalam ashti nemi yad akshamahus tam ritam prapadye. In the cycle of material activities, the material body resembles the wheel of a mental chariot. The 10 senses, 5 for working and 5 for gathering knowledge, and the 5 life airs within the body form the 15 spokes of the chariot's wheel. The 3 modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are its center of activities. And the 8 ingredients of nature, earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligence, and false ego, comprise the rim of the wheel. The external material energy moves this wheel like electrical energy. Thus, the wheel revolves very quickly around its hub, or central support, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul and the ultimate truth. We offer our respectful obeisances unto Him. So the demigods have appealed to Lord Brahma, and because they were being persecuted, defeated by the demons led by Bali Maharaj, and they were suffering, they're having a hard time, And so, therefore, they went to Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma is their leader, their guru. So they were doing exactly the right thing, to go to somebody who knows better. And Lord Brahma, being bona fide guru, he knew what to do exactly. So he went to the shore of the milk ocean and started saying these prayers to Lord Krishna. So this whole chapter is actually just mostly, the second half of this chapter is composed of these prayers. And here he's explaining actually what the situation is for all of us in the material world and what the material body's like. So he's explaining that material activities mean samsara. If we're engaged in material activities, then we're going to undergo repeated birth and death again and again and again. Samsara. Actually, samsara literally means flowing on, continuously flowing, apparently. So it's just endless. It will carry on and on, this cycle of birth and death. Life after life after life, whilst we are engaged in material activities. And Brahma gives an interesting analogy of the material body resembling a chariot wheel. It's not the actual chariot, it's the wheel of the chariot. That's what he's saying. And but he's saying that actually this chariot is a mental chariot. And in the word for word, Srila Prabhupada gives it actually a little bit more emphasis. He says, if I can find it. Mana mayam. This is referring to the wheel. The word for word translation is nothing but a mental creation depending chiefly on the mind. So this is significant, to my mind, anyway, that actually it's all a mental concoction, a mental creation. Everything that we're actually experiencing when we're in Maya is just a mental creation. So therefore, Sri Krishna, he devotes practically a whole chapter in Bhagavad Gita on the mind, explaining how the mind has to be disciplined, has to be controlled. Because if it's not under control, the mind becomes our worst enemy. If it is under control, it actually becomes our best friend, becomes a means by which we can actually achieve the goal of life. But out of control, Krishna says, it's actually self-realization becomes practically impossible, he's saying. And Arjuna, in that chapter, the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he says, actually, what you've described to me, because Krishna had described Ashtanga Yoga, which is a mechanical meditative practice which controls the mind and senses. Ultimately, it does lead to samadhi, full consciousness of Krishna, but it's very difficult in this stage to do that, because you've got to sit in a secluded place. You've got to just totally control your mind and senses without any thought of sex life or material life of any sort, and then ultimately you can achieve the goal. So Arjuna says, actually, I think it's impossible for me. I can't do this. I can't do it. It's just too difficult. But Krishna says, no, it is possible. We can do it. But it requires suitable practice and detachment. So the Srila Prabhupada's at the end of the purport, he said, he summarized what Lord Brahma's instruction was. It was that one should not be misguided by the activities of this material world and forget the central point, the absolute truth. So, of course, most living entities are misguided by the activities of the material world. By this mental chariot, which is made up of the spokes of this mental chariot is made up of the senses, the 10 senses, and the 5 life airs. And there's one word in the word-for-word translation, which I think needs, even if it's an English word, it needs translating. Fellies. Has anybody heard what, does anybody know what a felly is? F-E-L-L-I-E. I-E-S. Felly. A felly actually is the rim of a wheel into which the spokes go. So the external energies of the Lord, Bhumi Apo Nalo Vayu, are described as these 8 fellies, the external rim. So the material body is, and conditioned life is dependent on these 8 energies of the Lord, earth, water, fire, air, ether, etc. But their center of activities is the modes of material nature. So actually, we're completely controlled by the modes of material nature whilst we're in this mental creation. But Lord Brahma is saying that actually the wheel is revolving very quickly around its hub and central support, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the super soul and the ultimate truth. So just continuing the theme of, or the instructions of Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma is, His prayers, there's one particular prayer in the Brahma Samhita 41, where he says, Maya hiyasya jagadanda shatani sute trigunya tad vishaya veda vitayamana sadvavalambi parasadvam vishuddha sadvam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. And the English is very, it's Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur English, which is very high English. But actually, it's very nice. I found it quite inspiring and poetic. He says, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is the absolute substantive principle, being the ultimate entity in the form of the support of all existence, whose external potency embodies the threefold mundane qualities, viz., sattva, rajas, and tamas, and diffuses the Vedic knowledge regarding the mundane world. So, I've been trying to learn the English to these because, as I say, I find this translation is quite, I don't know, quite appealing somehow. So some of the words I've looked up. So, for instance, substantive. Why does he say substantive? Well, substantives means, so it's Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is the absolute substantive principle. So substantive means having a firm basis in reality, and so important, meaningful, or considerable. So it's an entirely appropriate. Who is the absolute substantive principle? The word absolute means it's not qualified or diminished in any way. So this is actually a good description of the Supreme Lord, that he is the reality. He's important. He's meaningful. He's considerable, And he's not qualified in any way. He's not relative. He's independent. And he doesn't depend on his existence for other living beings. And he can't be compared. So he is the ultimate reality. So who is the so Govinda, who is the absolute substantive principle, being the ultimate entity. So he's the origin of all, just like Lord Brahma says, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadi Radi Govinda, Savakarana Karanam. That he's the origin of all and he has no other origin. So he's being the ultimate entity in the form of the support of all existence. So that's why it related to me to this verse that we got here, because he's the support of all existence. Not only the spiritual, but the external, because it says, whose external potency embodies the threefold mundane qualities. That is, sattva, goodness, rajas, passion, and tamas, ignorance. And diffuses the Vedic knowledge regarding the mundane world. So, so Lord Brahma is asking. He's saying actually that, Srila Prabhupada is saying that we should not be misguided by the activities of the material world. And unfortunately, we are mostly being misguided, even by this Vedic knowledge, because it's mostly about the mundane world. Like Krishna warns quite heavily in the Bhagavad Gita about being attached to the Vedas, Veda Rata. Yeah, that there's so many verses actually in Gita which are warning that. Yeah, that particular. Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets. So that's one danger. We get distracted, we get misguided by thinking that actually we can have much greater enjoyment, which we can in the heavenly planets, materially speaking. But it's just going to keep us in this samsara. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai. So we can be misguided to thinking that we should go to the heavenly planets. And sometimes it can be quite tempting. Resultant good birth. Just like Aniruddha Prabhu was saying on the other day. He was quoting Janmaishvarya from Queen Kunti's prayers. But yeah, we want good birth, power, and so forth. So many things, actually. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. So, and then basically, yeah, Krishna says in a couple of verses' time, the Vedas deal mainly with the subject of the three modes of material nature. So he exhorts Arjuna, he says, become transcendental to these three modes. Be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the self. So, so we have to be fixed in our goal, which is actually to go back home, back to the spiritual world, and not get misguided by the material activities. There are some examples of those, like for instance, Devahuti. She accepted Kapila Muni, her son, as the axe, it's described by in one verse or one purport, the axe of detachment, because she knew that he could actually cut her attachment to this material world. So, the tree of material existence is explained in the 15th chapter, the banyan tree, Everything's perverted. What is up is down, and down is up, like that. So we have to cut the root of this tree with the axe of detachment. In Vrindavan recently, I don't know if they still are, but they were reading from Narad Muni's preaching to King Pachinibahi. And so Narad Muni described another king called King Paranjan. Actually, it's an allegory. And King Paranjan actually went into the forest. He left his queen behind, who is described actually as intelligence, his intelligence. He left her behind and went into the forest and started enjoying. He was enjoying hunting and killing so many animals. So then when he came back, after satisfying himself, he was he bathed and put on clean clothes and everything. And then he started to feel, well, I should find my queen. And he was feeling a little disturbed. So the point is actually that going to the forest, because Krishna also describes the forest of delusion in a few verses later, what I've just quoted, it's described as the forest. When your mind, when your intelligence transcends the forest of delusion, so going into the forest is symbolizes the desire to enjoy. So we're trying to exploit. This verse is about actually exploiting the living entities trying to exploit the material resources, the material world. Because Srila Prabhupada says the entire world is going on because the living entity who is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord is utilizing the material energy. It's only because of our desire, actually, that it's all happening. This mental creation, this mental speculation. So what are we going to do, actually, to make sure that we don't actually get trapped in this material world? So, three things occurred to me. One is that actually we're not able, we have to interact to some degree with this material world. We can't just ignore it. We're in this situation, and we have to deal with it somehow or other. So therefore, we've been given by Rupa Goswami the way in which we can deal with it, which is basically yukta vairagya, that we accept anything which is in relation to Krishna, but at the same time, we're not attached to that. And he describes this as being actual detachment or renunciation. Whereas those who reject everything, not knowing its relationship with Krishna, their renunciation is not complete, he describes it as. So therefore, yukta vairagya is a very fundamental principle, that because we have bodies, we are in this material world, we can't just ignore it, we have to deal with it. And therefore, it means dovetailing whatever facilities we have in the service of Krishna, and realizing that Krishna is the support, he is the hub, that actually he's providing everything for us. So that's the first point, yukta vairagya. We should engage everything that we have at our disposal in Krishna's service. And then, because Narad Muni also describes sarva padi vinaya muktam, tat tat parena, how's it go? Tat parena, sorry? Nirmalam, that's it, yeah, nirmalam. Hrishikena hrishikesha, sevanam bhakti uchite. That actually, just by engaging the senses in the service of the Lord, the controller of the senses, then those senses become purified. So that is actually the process, and that is why Yukta Vairagya works. If we engage everything in Krishna service, then we don't have to worry about the senses. They will be purified. So that's one important principle, Yukta Vairagya. And then another important principle is basically simple living, that not to accumulate too much. Just accept what is necessary. Ishavasyam idam sarvam yatkinchit. I'm not with it today. Chena chakchena bunjita magridha kashasvid danam. That everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. Therefore, one should just accept what is has been provided as your quota, knowing well to whom everything belongs. So we should just accept what is necessary to maintain body and soul together and not to accumulate extra, more than required. So simple living. And of course, in so many places, Srila Prabhupada explains how if we just have cows and grains, then all economic problems are solved. We haven't been able to completely manifest that as yet, but I'm sure in due course of time it will happen if we actually stick to that. So simple living is an important principle. Just be sad. Try to be satisfied with only what's necessary, the minimum, really. Not to go too far. We do need to maintain body and soul together properly. And then another thing that another point is that we actually should regret our past misdeeds. Because Srila Prabhupada says, not in this verse, but in another verse I was looking at, that actually regret is very helpful for the living entity. If we regret what actually we've done in the past, then it opens the door to Krishna consciousness, he explains somewhere. And of course, Lord Brahma is a good example because he gave us that verse which Srila Prabhupada says should be the guide for all devotees. Tatenu kampam shushamikshamano munjana evatma kritam vipakam hridvag vapobir vidadan namaste jivete yo mukti pade sadayabak. So he said then that one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the results of his past misdeeds and offering respectful obeisances to you with his heart, word, and deeds, he will certainly achieve liberation because it has become his rightful claim. So we just have to remain, just like, and Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Devotion, where he quotes that verse and says that it should be the guide for all devotees. He says, you know, we shouldn't expect that all our suffering, our karma, should immediately go. But we should just tolerate it and think that actually I deserve so much suffering, but Krishna is very kind and he's just giving me a small token of that suffering. And all the time continuing just to offer respects to the Lord and serve the Lord. And then you just have to stay in Krishna consciousness. And basically that is the way to stay in Krishna consciousness. Always feel that actually Krishna is looking after us. He's taking care. We don't have to worry. And then, just like a son, will automatically inherit his father's estate when his father leaves. So we just have to remain in Krishna consciousness, and then we will automatically receive the result. So we should always have that hope, that strong hope. And therefore, Rupa Goswami explains that we should have patience, utsahan nischayat dairat. We should have patience, we should have determination, confidence that actually it will, the fruit of our endeavors, spiritual endeavors, will come in due course of time. We just have to persevere. So I'll stop there if there's any questions or comments.